keeping it real on CliffCentral.com.
Boom. And in other news, it's your boy, G-Man the Ad-Man. And you hang out with your boy, Grand Toilet. Once again, we're here spending time in beautiful ad land. But this show isn't just about ads. You see, we're not just going to talk about the ads that you see, that you love, and then you just point fingers at. It's also about all the people, the elements that make all the ads that we see, that we love, and all those people that make it come to life, and we can still point fingers at them after they leave here. But because it's not just anyone in the game that we're going to get in here, and to most people out there, advertising seems like it's this mysterious curtain, from which sometimes behind that curtain we see black folk come out and dance. For everything from debit cards to rice, but this show is more than just that. We're going to be hanging out with everyone from the proverbial captains of industry to the guys who've just started out in the game, to brand leaders, voices, musicians, directors, and all around good people of advertising. And today is no different. Actually, that's why you're hearing that song that's playing in the background. For those of you who don't know, that's Mapapusi, and the name of the song is I know the name of the song. It's called Clever. Ha. That voice you're hearing in the background is the guy who inspired us playing that track first. I mean, he's been called a lot of things. He's been a lot of people know him in some circles as Oskido. Not the DJ. Well, he's a DJ as well, but not the other one that you know. He's done amazing things like he's been jury chairman of the Financial Main Ad Focus Awards. He has previously been a partner, executive creative director at Mojo Mother Russia. He was the founding partner of Mother Russia Communications. He's won beautiful things throughout his time. But you know, let's not get into it too much. Let me help you meet this cat. This is your man. This is Festus Masekwameng. I feel like that wasn't loud enough, Duncan. That's what's up. What's going on, Festus? How are you, my man?
Hey, I'm good, my guy. How about you?
I'm cool. Yeah. Bon, once again, like I keep saying, these are going to be hangouts, you know?
Okay.
So everything you've ever done at every other interview before this, let's forget it. Let's chill and talk things. You know, I don't want to mention names of other ad shows, but this is not them.
Okay.
You're at a different ad show now, my man.
Yeah.
We're literally going to chat about you, about me, about, you know, everything that we call the land of advertising. So tell us what you're up to, Festus. What are you up to these days? What are you doing? Where did I pull you out of in order to get you here today?
Yeah, no, you know, firstly, let me start by saying congratulations, my man, on a great show.
Thanks, man.
I think it's a great, introduction, you know, and a great addition into the radio, you know, arena. I've really enjoyed it ever since you've been on here.
It's been a beautiful week.
Absolutely. You know? But what we've been up to as well, I mean, we're still making ads.
Yep.
As a Mother Russia, but we also got a company called MKT Media.
MKT Media.
Yeah.
Through
which we do all sorts of interesting things beyond advertising.
Okay.
Branded content for TV. There's a TV show that we've been working on.
Are you allowed to tell us about it yet?
I am. It's called Dinner Date South Africa. It's a global format. You may have seen Dinner Date UK and Australia. It's actually in partnership with a great collaborator, Phoenix Production.
Oh, dope.
Run by a wonderful, brilliant lady called Coco.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I've seen her on Facebook.
Yeah, Mrs. Koketo Mohale.
That's what's up. That's
what we've been up to. There's also a couple other shows that we've been working on as well, you know, just playing in that space.
Yeah.
But there's MKT. We've also got a new media platform that we're trying to put out there. We're basically going to become a media owner and make lots and lots of money.
There we go.
It's a miniature billboard. We call it the Baypod.
Okay.
It's going into parking lots of shopping malls and all sorts of retail centers. So we're very excited about that development.
Oh, dope.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's fantastic. Hey, Muna, it sounds like you're busy, man.
Yeah, no, we try, man.
And over above that,
24 hours.
And over above that, you're also still making ads.
Oh, yes. Actually, we've just finished rolling out developing a campaign for this year's Standard Bank Joy of Jazz campaign. So out for that on radio and on TV and on billboards as well and newspapers.
Awesome.
There was a media launch last week, you know, just announcing all the artist lineup that's going to be featured this year. So I know it's only happening in September, but you know, we got to start early.
Right.
Mobilizing and, you know,
tantalizing people. Man.
So also, that's great.
So this music thing doesn't leave you, when it's not taking people jive, it's Joy of Jazz, isn't that?
That's what it is, my man. It's a Rishapadi jazz.
That's dope. Oh, well, look, like I was saying before, Fistas has done a whole bunch of things. I mean, you know, if you open up the internet and you type in Fistas, don't go to images first. Start by reading it on the web first. But it's interesting things like, you know, he's been jury chairman of the Botswana Ideas Expo, jury chairman of the Luria Awards for a very long time, from 08 to 2011. Tell us about that. How was that like as an experience?
No, look, it was great. You know, I mean, you know, the industry is full of lots of wonderful people.
Yeah.
And as you know, the Luri board is made up of, it's like an advisory panel, you know, so right. It presents pretty much all the different disciplines in the industry.
Yeah.
You know, from design, digital, to Bumadi below the line, on
more, right,
and,
right, right.
And all sorts of things. But I think it was a great experience being, you know, on top of the behind the scenes, you know, organizing the whole calendar of events throughout the year, as well as trying to meet wherever possible the various, transformation agendas of the industry. I mean, you'll remember that even together with the previous chairman at the time, Wing Wing, the introduction of the likes.
Yeah, he was here last week.
The new voice. Yeah. I tuned in actually. Did we run out of data? But hey, it was wonderful. It was a great interview. You know, so lots of innovations there. I mean, the Luri's the traveling roadshow, the New Voice Awards, the different bursaries and students that you've managed to bring through. You know, I think it's been a great experience and a great eye opener in terms of, you know, having an overview of the industry beyond just being, you know, that copywriter in studio, being harassed by traffic and and client service. So yeah.
Oh, that's dope. Mm. I mean, you speak about the traveling roadshow. Mm. For those of you who don't know, it's an initiative where you know, in order to kind of help with and stop me jumping once I start talking crap, it's an initiative where the Luri Awards essentially just go out there and introduce upcoming graduates to the idea of advertising and to the idea of being the creatives and being the guys behind
the work. I mean, it started going throughout the schools and universities and ended up even going, like, you know, international. Boss, you
hey,
know,
that's dope, man.
Namibia, yeah,
that's great.
I mean, that's international, right? And the Middle East as well.
Oh, that's dope. Buma Dubai.
Buma Dubai.
God blessing, God
blessing. You know, so who are also a big part of the Luri Awards, you know, as it were. Yeah.
Okay, that's dope. And do you think that it's yielded any kind of fruit yet? Do you think that it's done anything in order to help people try and get into the game who traditionally would not have actually even thought about advertising?
Absolutely. I mean, I think the roadshow is really about spreading the exposure. I think as an industry of marketers and advertisers, we've always been, accused of underselling, you know, our industry. I mean, we can sell all sorts of, you know, fees must fall to, you know, everything else.
Exactly.
But when it comes to career opportunities in the industry, it's very limited. I think you and I, especially myself, you know, probably remember that, you know, by the time we got aware of opportunities in the industry, was probably quite prime in our youth,
right,
you know, if I can call it that, like way after matric and things of that nature. So, you know, I think it has, because as you've seen throughout the year, there's always, new entrants into the industry, students, whether, you know, the various internships, various programs that even other ad agencies, run to, you know, try and recruit, new raw talent and things like that.
That's dope. That's dope. Because I think that's very, very important. You know, we speak about this transformation thing a lot, and it's pretty much on everyone's lips all the time. And it's important for us to be finding brand new avenues in order to address it. You know, all the time we keep talking about, you know, there are people in the game that need to be brought up, you know, to kind of middle management, to top management, which is what I was talking to Wing Wing about.
Yeah.
But it is also very encouraging to find out that, you know, there are other avenues that we're trying in order to get people back or get people into the game.
True.
Okay, cool. That's dope. I mean, I think we've spoken about, you know, the formal stuff, and I like to say that's the stuff I just wanted to get out of the way first. Important stuff, nonetheless. But I think, you know what we're going to do? I want us to, we're going to play a track, And then when we come back, we're going to meet Fistas. He's going to tell you guys his unique story of how he got into advertising. All of us have these amazing stories of how the game found us, or how we found the game. And I mean, the big intention with that is to make all those people out there realize that, you know, you might not be at the center of it, or you might seem like you're not close to it, but the game will find you. And when it finds you, it finds you.
Keeping it real on CliffCentral.com.
Oh yeah, we're back. I just did that. I just did that mosquito thing. Oh yeah,
my man.
That was okay. Malum Cool Cat with Gold Teeth and Cavellas. Featured on that track is another boy who's in advertising, the front man for Big Fucking Gun. I'm allowed to say that. This is what is Cliff Central. I don't have to say BFG. Big Fucking Gun. Solomon Blue Panji. Big ups to the homie out there doing big things. Now we're back with Fistas, you know, and I think if you have any questions for him, remember to hit us up on our number is 0861-555-189, or on Twitter at CliffCentral.com, on Facebook at Cliff Central, or on WeChat Cliff Central. We've had some tweets, people asking, from Utabisa saying, is he dancing along to my Babuti's Bazo Sal? You should have seen him. We took him back to Hunt Lascaris days.
Yeah, boy, I love it. And imagine when it comes to dancing, you know I'm a natural.
Yeah.
The choreography background.
Oh, that's dope. Okay, so first, tell us, my man. I mean, the legend in the street is that, you know, advertising found you at Vets. You were at Vets doing other things, being DJ Oskido inside Vets when advertising found you. Tell us when did it find you?
Yeah, this was you know, just on the turn of the century.
Yeah.
You know, say, yeah, 1999 actually. I'd been at Vets studying to become a civil engineer.
Right.
But I was also involved in, you know, quite a few things on campus, you know, the campus newsletter, you know, some of the, you know, campus politics.
All those engineering things, politics, cancer, newsletters.
Born, you know, right up to campus radio, you know, right. Voice of Vets, which was like, you know, a great platform as well, just to introduce, you know, to open one's mind to
right.
all sorts of other things happening as far as pop culture is concerned. So the live sound unit that we ran, you could also, you know, call us out to come and DJ at, you know, at your party.
Right.
And one such party was an end of year party at the AAA School of Advertising, you know.
Right.
And I remember, I mean, you know, for the longest time, we've always associated the industry while advertising with, you know, supermodels or even just, you know, average models, all sorts of models there. Were you thinking
model,
you know,
citizens?
An ad agency is a, you know, is a casting agency actually, as it turns out, you know. Yeah, and then, you know, we chatted to some of the people around. I mean, I could just see all these many beautiful people with, you know, like the biggest dates at the time. I remember, I'm sure he won't be mad at this, but Dr. Kumal at the time was one of the dates of one of the, you know, students there. You know? So it was a great party, great event. And I was wondering, you know, what are all these people doing here? But no, we're starting to become, you know, marketers and, you know, advertisers, and there's all these sorts of different opportunities. And from then I was hooked, because I think there's always been that, you know, creative streak and bug, even though I was in engineering, but part of, you know, trying to, you know, experiment with all these other platforms that were available was really trying to maybe nurture that and finding the right kind of thing. So I thought this is the perfect place where, you know, filmmaking, music, everything that I loved, I mean, including writing, you know, I could pretty much, you know, harness. And, you know, so the following year I dropped out. I mean, we applied with a friend of mine, Mpulo, DJ Mpulo.
That's right.
Yeah, we submitted off. I think we were amongst the last to even submit. They at AAA at those days, they made you do a copy test.
Yes, I remember
you
that.
You know, sadly,
DJ Mpulo.
Yeah, he didn't make it. But he,
that is why he's DJ Mpulo today.
You know, but he opted for the media stream instead. And
okay,
I think he's been a, you know, like a phenomenal, you know, a player in the media space ever since, you know.
Okay, fantastic.
And yeah, that was so. Come January, when everyone was scheduled to come for interviews, I think one such guy who was running late was a guy called Nguli, Freedom Masiba.
Oh, right.
And I just happened to be waiting at reception because I couldn't accept that, you know, they've shut down the
list. Yes.
So as it is, you know, sometimes we all look the same. You know, one of the lecturers, Mrs. Rula Hatting, came through and said, hey, are you here for the interview? I said, yeah. You know, probably thought I was in good. I think she only discovered later once we, you know, we were halfway through the interview saying, okay, so Nkuli, where to from now? That's when I broke it down. Oh, look, I'm not him, but I really want to be in your class.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was the last to be accepted. And, you know, I've never that looked back ever since.
That is dope. Yeah. That is really, really cool. You know, I think it's really dope that we actually touched on institutions like AAA and Vega and all that, because it's also another thing that that keeps coming up. Tell me, what is your opinion on how hard it is to get into the game and actually the cost of these schools and the fact that, you know, that might be a huge barrier that makes people not actually get into the game because of, you know, the fact that it costs literally the price of more than an RDP home.
No, absolutely. I mean, I think that will always be the biggest challenge, you know, across all tertiary, you know, education in the country.
Right.
Yeah, it is. It is quite expensive. But over and above that, you know, AAA, we have to do, you know, sort of different projects as groups, you know, where they group you and you have to buy, you know, the mounting boards.
Yes.
Presentations. Sometimes you have to, you know, use your last, you know, $50 for transport and all of that. But I think, you know, especially our class at the time, we're quite a closely knit, you know, unit. I mean, the likes of Sanele
was
in my class. Yeah, you know, Mbovu. The likes of Lebo Mutekwa, you know.
Oh, dope.
Foshizi.
Yes. The guy with the dictionary.
Absolutely.
Come to dictionary. Yes, I remember.
I mean, Freedom himself is also quite a top, you know, creative director as well. So
completely.
Yeah, it was quite a great class. So we could, you know, patch here and improvise to make things happen. And, you know, yeah, 2 years later we graduated. Some of us started picking awards there, but you know, it was wonderful. Just even, you know,
listen
opening up to that kind of
listen to what he does. Some of us just started picking awards there. What Fistus is not telling you is that you know, he's responsible for some of the work that inspired most of us to get into advertising. I mean, I wasn't very far behind, but it was some of his work from college. It was some of the work that he did even when he started working at places like Handlers Garris with the great La Pisca Casa. That inspired us to get into the game. And I actually want to tell you the reason why we played that song in the very beginning. Some of you might remember that song from that great SABC 1 ad that has resurfaced again, where you know, where you've got white folk living black people's lives and black people living white people's lives. That was the launch of the brand new of the rebrand of SABC 1. Take another look at Mzansi. This man sitting right here is the guy who was the brains behind that. How do you arrive at an ad like that, Fistas, my man? How do you arrive at Take Another Look at Mzansi?
Yeah, hey, you know, that was a very interesting journey. I mean, at the time, you'll remember, you know, Metro FM were doing lots of like hot airs through Network BBDO, you know, and the one of the clients was someone no less than Romeo Kumalo, you know, who, you know, as you know, he always sets the bar very high in his expectations of an agency. But I think I worked with a great team of people who had quite a diverse, you know, representation in our creative team. I mean, my art director at the time was Nicholas Pereira.
All right.
And I used to call him Dagama because, you know, he's Portuguese and, you know, and Dagama. And we used to really get on each other's, you know, case. But the idea with that ad was to really tell the story of a typical day in the life of a young South African. You remember the time, you know, as a country, we're still struggling with this new national identity of, you know, Rainbow Nation or what. And I think the Rainbow Nation, you know, vibes of, you know, sugarcoating, the hard realities that everyone, like all of us, were faced with at the time, you know, were quite, it was wearing off, you know, whereas shows like Izo and, you know, Gazlam, you
completely,
know, were actually the flagship at the channel, you know, they were a lot more grittier and whatnot. So initially, in fact, we even started going to shoot that ad without having quite tracked how it was going to end or what we were going to say. But I think because everyone just so believed in it, I mean, the director, Lawrence Hambeger, brought also quite a lot, you know, to the table. Creative director, Wetson Edivert, and I know these names really sound like like a who's who of whatnot. It was a normal story until at some point, you know, in one of my fights with my art director, you know, You know, we're like, you know, you can't be in my shoes. You know, you don't know what I go through every day.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, well, I can, you know, I do. And then later I was like, hey, hold on. You know, why don't I, you know? And then from there on, the same script that we had, we just flipped.
Let's talk.
You know, like racially. So you have the young boy coming out of the township and he's white and everything else around him is white in the township. And then as he goes to town, you know, in the suburbs, you know, the nanny is there, you see sitting by the lawns and everything. So it was such an eye-opener. You know, when you reach that moment, you know, like you're onto something.
That's great.
I think, you know? So yeah, that's pretty much how it happened. And even, you know, the soundtrack, you know, I mean, I think the ideas were, because SABC owned all the channels at the time, so you could afford to make a longish ad. And, you know, we launched them on Paputu's track with that. And I think since then we've also made lots of friendships, you know,
with
Mapaputsi, Bona, Ghetto Raff, Lanster, you know, Motherland Records, you know, everyone that was involved, actually, you know.
That's fantastic. So, I mean, I think you touched on a very important thing for me. What do you think, and in fact, maybe this question is in two parts. Do you think that we are still making work of that caliber? Do you still think that we are skirting, you know, very close to the proverbial crater of society, so that we can make ads and make people really think about stuff and about their surroundings? Do you think we're still making those? And if not, what do you think we could be doing in order to get back to that place? Because that's my opinion. My opinion is that I feel like we've gotten so much safer. And that might come from us overthinking the way we want to portray things, and that political correctness you're talking about earlier. I feel like we've all just become so aware of it. So yeah, what do you think of the stuff we're doing right now?
I mean, I think, you know, the world has definitely changed, you know, since then, and you know, it's only a few as that still remain that relevant. But I think, you know, in the creation of any campaign, it's a combination of, you know, what the agency brings to the table and what the clients also bring to the table, because every brand has got a great opportunity to give, you know, social commentary and also give, you know, shape to you know, how we perceive ourselves as a thing. So maybe, you know, most of the bigger clients have become less brave, you know, in as far as you know, going all the way.
Yeah.
I mean, you're familiar with the expression where, you know, they say every client gets
the as they deserve.
Yes. You know? But I think beyond that, the way the industry as well has changed is that some of this commentary doesn't just have to come from ads anymore. I mean, you've seen the advent of social media, what it's doing, you know, in terms of its impact, you know, all these campaigns that you see out there, whether selling a brand or actually being a social movement, you know. I mean, the likes of Fees Must Fall come to mind, and those are the new different platforms that, you know, people are finding, you know, a place to express those, you know, whether it's frustrations or comment on all those kind of developments. So
are you then saying that the pressure doesn't, we don't have that much pressure to be great anymore? Because everyone can do it now.
No, the pressure hasn't left. I just think the duty is no longer just, you know, of the creative team or the ad agency alone, you know, because even then they must still operate within the confines or expectations of a client. But in as far as having an impact on society, there's so many other platforms now. I mean, even Cliff Central itself, you know, as a radio station, is quite groundbreaking, you know, in terms of the platform, online platform. I think it's reflective of, you know, the changes that have happened since then, because it's not something you would have imagined back then.
Back in the day, you know, right.
Yeah.
Okay, no, I hear you. And maybe also it comes back to, you know, those briefs that need to become more media agnostic. Where maybe your solution isn't always going to lie in an above the line solution or you know, in a print ad, a TV ad, or whatever, because things like the social media platforms have created a brand new way of looking at briefs.
Absolutely.
Cool.
But also, I mean, even the way of having, you know, like high impact social commentary, you know, you can always take a slightly different route, even humorous, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, if you take the likes of Nando's, what they do, you know, is like social commentary, current affairs, everything, and it's always funny and provocative, and, you know, it's very hard to argue against.
Because
it's really what people are really thinking most of the time.
Completely.
So, yeah.
Well, that's great, guys. I mean, you Festus, being the guy that he is, you know, we only have very little time with him, but he does promise us that he's going to be back on the show. He's the guy that he is, who has to now all of a sudden drive to Pretoria because you know comrades gotta meet comrades, you know what I mean? thank you so much, Fistas, for coming on to the show today, my man. And promise us that we'll be able to come here and finish this conversation.
No, absolutely. I mean, it's great fun as well. I really appreciate, the invite, and I would definitely like to take this hang out some more.
Let's hang out. Fun. You know, like I always say, you know, like if this show was, it's good thing the show is on a Wednesday, because if it was on a Friday, there'd be tequila, you know. So hopefully, the next time maybe there'll be a public holiday the following day or something, or the day before, you know, and then we'll have a tequila.
Love you.
But thanks a lot, Fistas. That's Fistas Masekomeng, ladies and gentlemen. Stick around, because when we come back, we're going to be talking other things in advertising. Some developments have happened about an ad that I spoke to you guys last week and we're going to talk about things like plagiarism. Is it real? Is it in the ether? Okay, cool. But we're going to talk about that when we come back. Fistas Masekomeng, y'all.
Business leaders around the globe are committing to building a better world for everyone. CliffCentral.com is joining forces with the Sympathy Sleep Out, taking a stand for the plight of the homeless. We invite you to participate with us in the Sympathy Sleep Out on the 28th of July, 2016. Join the ranks of leaders of change by using your influence for what truly matters. Sign up now for the Sympathy Sleep Out on www.theceosleepoutza.co.za. That's theceosleepoutza.co.za.
Keeping it real on CliffCentral.com.
S next. That is Mashamplani with his Focalist Next. I think you remember that golden era of Kwaito music where diss tracks were exactly that. You see, diss tracks these days, Meek Mill, Drake, all those cats, even our Casper and AKA, you have too many words. It's too many words. This is just as Focalist Next. That literally was an entire thing. It was an entire concept. You could let it be whatever the hell you want it to be. You knew exactly where it was coming from. So, Fistas Masekomeng has left us. It's just me and Duncan right now, which is going to make for very, very interesting advertising conversation. Because you know, Duncan is no Fistas, and he's no Wing Wing either. But it's fine. I'll learn him the ropes. I'll learn him the ropes. By the end of this, he'll know. How you feeling, Duncan? You good? Yeah, I'm 90, boy. That's that confidence I keep talking about. Anyway, so before the break, I said that we were going to talk about what has been happening in the land of advertising, and some amazing developments have happened about that ad that I spoke to you guys about last week. So remember when Wing Wing was here last week, we spoke about the ads that we love, and I said that there's this amazing ad that's just come out for Coronation, and it's a beautifully shot ad. It's beautiful, and it's about hard work, and it's about people and toil, and all it is that it says at the end of it, you literally watch these people go through their days, like people in all types of jobs. You see little nurses, you see people that work in restaurants, you see them go through their job and go through their day, and at the end of it, it says, if your money came easy, you'd invest it with anyone. And that's a great message. It's a message that all of us can relate to. It doesn't really matter what you're up to. You can relate to the fact that your money does not come easy, and that's why you don't invest it with anyone. If you have the internet, if you're listening at the office, if you're listening, you know, anywhere where you are able to look at your YouTube or whatever, in fact, on marklives.com, they've literally put the ads right next to each other. Go there, look at them, and then give us a call. Give us a call on 0861-555-189 or hit us up on Twitter at CliffCentral.com or on Facebook at CliffCentral, on WeChat at CliffCentral, or hit me up straight at Blaxem, that's at BLAXEM. And let's talk about it. Because, I mean, having sat in a whole bunch of brainstorms and having sat in meetings where you know you're coming up with brand new stuff, things like plagiarism always come up. I mean, anybody in advertising who has not heard the term it's been done would know. If anybody who's heard the term it's been done knows how much that hurts. You know, you're going through the process, you're coming up with work, and then eventually you just hear, look, my man, that's in this annual, I know it won in Cannes such and such time ago. That's great. But that's when you are sitting around the table with people who actually know what's been in annuals, what's been on TV, what's been on, what the international trends are. But what happens when you're sitting in a brainstorm, you come up with something and no one can spot it, and you go all the way to the client, you present it as we do, and you tap dance your way around it, and you make it sound as amazing as you can, and they love it. right? You go ahead, you go to the production house, and nobody on the other side of the production house recognizes it either. You go through all your references and everything, and you go and you produce this ad. Because it's exactly what happened here. Well, that is the story that is on the... I have to be careful with my words here. Just so I'm not... You know, like I said last week, we're not in the business of pointing fingers at any kind of ad because, you know, we've all been on the other side of them. But then what happens is you end up at this platform where an ad that you've just presented, an ad that you've actually just gone and produced, exists in the exact same way from another part of the planet. And Coronation, the brand that I was telling you about right now, with the "if your money came easy, you'd invest it with anyone" campaign, just happened to have made an ad that looks exactly is a relative term, but looks very, very similar to an ad for a company in Canada called Tangerine. And the name of that ad is "Hard Work." And the line at the end of their ad is, you work hard for your money, does your bank. So it feels like it lives in the same world. It feels like it lives in the same world. And we all know what that feels like. So give us a call. Hit us up, 0861-555-189. Or on Twitter at cliffcentral.com. On Facebook, Cliff Central. Or hit me up straight at Blexem, at BLAXEM. And we'll chat about what you think about that. We're going to play another track. And when we come back, we'll be looking at some of your tweets. And we'll talk about more of these instances that we've seen on the net. These trends that have happened where people have made ads that sound and all look exactly the same. It's your boy, G-Man the Ad Man. And you're still here on Cliff Central. Boom.
Keeping it real on CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, it's Kanye West and Jay-Z on the track called Otis. And that is not stealing. I mean, that's sampling. That is sampling Otis by Otis Redding on the Kanye West track. But, you know, so we're talking now once again about the... once again, hit us up. Hold on, before we carry on, hit us up on the number 0861-555-189. That's 0861-555-189. Or on Twitter, at cliffcentral.com. Or hit me up straight on at BLAXEM on Twitter. So we're talking about the amazing thing that's just happened, where a South African agency, Network BBDO, I'm reading now off of Mark Lives. It says, "South African agency Network BBDO faces anonymous allegations, mostly made by a person using the pseudonym Red Shuhart, that its ad for Coronation fund managers looks and feels similar to that of a Canadian bank, Tangerine, created by Canadian ad agency John Street." Or is it John Saint? I'm not sure. John ST, full stop. So, I mean, it's a phenomenal thing. We're talking about it now, and it feels like it's not something that a lot of people would be familiar with locally, because that's exactly what happens. When you go out there and you research the ad, more often than not, you would have seen something like it on TV. You would have seen something that reminds you of something in the ad, and as soon as you come up with it in a brainstorm, somebody's going to say, "No, we can't do that because that already exists out there." But what happens when it's all out there? When it's something that is being done in Helsinki, for example, where somebody in Helsinki has pretty much went and done the exact same ad that you just did now. And you know, another conversation that comes up in the article is the fact that, you know, we all consume the same media. All of us are watching Game of Thrones on Monday. All of us, the world of media has become so small that all of us are pretty much exposed to the exact same thing. So is it then how we will keep arriving at the same conclusions or at the same solutions for briefs? Is it because we all are exposed to the same things? I mean, if you've seen that, there's an amazing experiment that Darren Brown once did. And he actually used ad people, where he took them and he literally exposed them to the same things, and at the end of that experiment, proved to them that he could actually direct them to making a certain type of ad. In fact, went straight to the nitty gritty of that ad and the detail of the ad, and made them pretty much put everything that he said they would into the ad. You should look at that on YouTube when you get a chance. So we've got a tweet from Wing Wing, who was here last week, and he says, the similarities between the two ads are purely coincidental, in my opinion. And you know what? It's plausible. It is completely plausible because, you know, that's just also how ideas work. You kind of go through the same work process, and you work through the same ad work procedure, that you might end up at the same place if your brief is similar. Because that's also another thing that's influencing these things out there. the briefs that we get are starting to be exactly the same. Because of how small the global village has become. So, you know, this bank in Canada might have had exact same issues that Coronation might be going through right now, where they feel like, you know, people really want their money to be valued, or people really want to feel like, you know, they invest in their money with the right people, and we've all started working that much harder. So you can see how that path actually could lead you to very similar ads. But I worry a lot because you know, we're also very... Are we judging these ads too harshly? Are we judging the comparison too harshly? Because I think that, you know, there are a whole bunch, and I mean, this happened before, where people have won awards, and literally, it's happened here in South Africa, where people have won awards with ads, and literally, and all the way till Cannes, where Cannes, the judges in Cannes, in their infinite knowledge, go and award a piece of communication because they think it's amazing, and it takes one other person to just arrive with another annual and say that, but this stuff has been done. Or this stuff was done 2 years ago, and they've had to revoke awards before. So what do we think of that? Do we think that that's fair? Do we think that it's bound to happen? Do we think that it's going to happen to someone once in their advertising career at some point? Personally, I think adverts are really, you know, are the product of something of the things that we all experience every single day. So. Every single time you go out there and you sit in a brainstorm, how many times have you had pretty much similar conversations with different groups of people? Because we're all exposed to the same things. I mean, and I'm one of those people that, you know, I try to shun things that are popular at the time. So things like, as soon as people start talking about Game of Thrones, I literally shut down. But you actually cannot pull yourself away from it because of how much is out there. And I feel like because of that, we are bound to end up in places where we're making similar stuff. So that's what's happening out there in the world of advertising right now. I mean, are there any great ads that you've seen? Are there any great ads that you can draw comparisons from where you know the story is very, very similar, but it does feel like maybe the brief was exactly the same. And it would be cool to hear from people on the client side as well. It would be cool to hear from clients. How do you think you arrive at something like this? And how do you respond to something like this? You know, what do we think the guys at Coronation, when they hear something like this coming up, whether it was plagiarized or not, but knowing that something that speaks exactly the same language as you is out there, how do you respond to this? Do you pull the ad? Do you place blame squarely at the feet of the ad agency? Should they have done more research to find out that whether something like this out there exists out there? Or in this quest for originality, we're always going to actually end up in making stuff that other people have made before anyway. It's a huge conundrum. But I think that it's fine. We'll chat about that. I mean, talk to us about that on Twitter and on Facebook, or give us a phone call. But let's talk about some other ads. Let's talk about the ads that are out there right now that we're enjoying. I know it's not quite advertising, but well, let's call it advertising for now. I'm still baffled by those beautiful ads that show up on Twitter. No, not on Twitter. Show up on ETV, and somebody on Friday. You watch them escalate on Friday. So from around 7:30, it's SMS our keys to 31599. And that's cool because, you know, that's still a bit palatable because it's still prime time. And then around 9:15, it's SMS our poop. You know, now we're escalating. You know what I mean? And you're going, whoa. You know, somebody out there conceptualizes this stuff and puts it out there. And then by midnight, you know, we've gone to another place. You know, SMS our body. SMS u anal, you know, and I think that it's amazing because it's another facet of advertising that we all evidently have to live with, but who's the guy? I would love to meet the guy, my man. If there's a guy out there who conceptualizes this stuff, the guy who writes this stuff, or a guy who shoots this stuff, I would love to meet the guy, have him come on the show, chat to us about your thought process, chat to us about well, you know what? Because we also can't judge it. Chat to us about how well this stuff does. Chat to us about how many of these things do you get where people how many people actually go through those lines and actually buy the services, and what's behind those services? What happens when I SMS a boob? You know, do I get advice on how to handle boobs? Do I get advice on how to kiss? And I think it would be really, really interesting. So what we're gonna do right now is I'm gonna jam another track. And then what we're going to do is when we come back, I'm going to read some more of the tweets that we've just gotten. We'll take one or two calls. And then, you know, once again, just like last week, it feels like this hour's almost up. But it's your boy, and we're still going to be talking about advertising. And it's your boy, G-Man, the Ad Man.
Keeping it real on CliffCentral.com.
Excellent. That's Mark Ronson. And coincidentally, the name of that track is I Can't Lose. Yeah, we're not losing. We're not losing. But yeah, I mean, the more I read this article, the more it seems like there's a lot to this entire thing. And you know, like I said, having been on the inside and knowing about how ads work and how ads conceptualize, it feels very strange. But like, it now also turns out, one of the tweets that we got from Kanye_M says, they use the same colorist. Did he have deja vu? Didn't he have deja vu? Nah. You see, now that's where I get thrown, you know, because there's also a conversation about timelines here. When Mike Shalit of Network BBDO is talking about the fact that this campaign was conceptualized, approved by clients, and done by the 31st of July 2015, right? And the Tangerine ad was shot mid-November 2015. So if that makes any sense, then you know the coronation ad would have been done first, and then the Canadian people would have made that their ad second. But they use the same colorist. So when you are this guy now, you are sitting in a room, in those dark rooms where you're having amazing sandwiches with eggs and stuff in them, and people are saying to you, and you're coloring this ad when you know that you just did another ad that sounds exactly, it looks exactly the same, do you not pipe up and say something? Anyway, I think that this conversation is going to go on for a while, and it's going to be interesting to see it unfold and to watch exactly what it is that happens with this thing. And I think, you know, it's a real pity that it finds itself in this weird space, because you know it was shot by a really, really talented friend of mine, Mr. Tristan Holmes, from Star Films, and you know he's been getting props for the ad, because the ad is still amazing. I still think the ad is a great piece of communication. For it to be clouded by this mess is really unfortunate. So hopefully this thing gets sorted out, guys. Between the guys at Tangerine and Coronation, hopefully you guys can sort this thing out. But yeah, here we are again. We find ourselves at the end of another show. It's 11:57, so it means I've only got about, you know, a minute and a half or so. But it's been another amazing show. We had a great guest, Mr. Fistus Masekwameng, who promised us that he's going to be back, and we're going to keep chatting about advertising and its beautiful side, and its side that we would really, really like to change as well. We'll keep talking about, you know, the things that make us happy, and we'll keep talking about advertising. And once again, we spoke about plagiarism. How do you think we're going to get around this stuff? I really, really hope that the coronation guys are right. I get the feeling that they are, but I really hope that this thing gets sorted out. So hang out with us again next week. Upload the podcast. It's going to be available within a couple of minutes. Upload the podcast. Play it for your moms. You know, I know I did say anal once, but I'm sure she won't mind. But upload the podcast. Check it out. And let's have some more conversations about advertising next week. It's your man, G-Man. The ad man, and like I say, if this show was on a Friday, we'd have tequila. Thank you.
Keeping it real on CliffCentral.com.